Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mental Coaching Podcast, sponsored by the National High School Basketball Coaches Association. I'm Jenny Hopkins, your host for this podcast, and we're excited to have you with us today. We have a wonderful guest that's going to talk a little bit about the inside of what she is seeing on the court and off the court with the mental health of her athletes. After our interview, stick around for our technique of the month, as we also give you a little bit of an inspirational quote to finish out the podcast. Let's get right to our guest. I'm very excited to have her on our podcast today. Coach Amy Egan will be in her third season as the Lady Panthers head basketball coach. She arrived at Drury as an assistant coach for Lady Panthers in 2019 and 20, working under head coach Molly Miller. Now, she was the head coach at Truman State as well, very successful, the winningest women's basketball coach to ever coach there with 111 wins. Since she has been at Drury, she has gone 56-7. Let me say that again, 56-7. She's won two Great Lakes Valley Conference championships and taken Drury to two NCAA tournaments in two seasons. In 2020-21, they were the NCAA Division II national runner-up. She was also a tremendous player herself. She played at Truman State, and she was a four-time selection to the all-conference team, and she's fourth on their all-time scoring list, and she's the program's career leader in assists, steals per game, free throws made, and free throws attempted. She also set the Truman State single-game scoring record with 46 points against Southern Indiana, which is tremendous. She has embarked also on playing a professional career in Norway, and she was inducted in the Truman State Hall of Fame in 2012. She was also an all-state player for South Shelby High School here in Missouri. That is something that I think is really a unique. She's not only been a successful player in high school, successful player in college, an extremely successful coach. She even has some professional experience as well. Amy Egan is the fifth head coach in program history at Drury, and currently the Drury Lady Panthers are ranked number two in the country with a record of 18-1. She's coached All-Americans, National Players of the Year, and has been named the National Coach of the Year as well. We caught up with her and we received her insights on the state of mental health with athletes and how she views what we can do as coaches to help them. All right, welcome, Coach Amy Egan. We're glad you could join us on the podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here and to have some conversations.
So we're generating conversation, and we're kind of, bringing more light, it's not a new concept of the mental health of athletes. You know, we refer to mental coaching as kind of how players are working on not just their physical skills, their sport-specific skills, but their mental skills. So just to start out, what are you seeing as kind of your general thoughts as the state of mental health for college athletes?
Well, I think it's becoming more and more noticeable, more and more. Kids are talking more and more about it. I think a lot of kids are releasing themselves from sports because of it more often now. So it's just becoming a lot bigger issue and a lot bigger topic than it has been in the past.
I think so, too. And I think one area that has really risen with collegiate athletes is perfectionism. Perfectionism is very difficult, and I don't think there's anything wrong with striving for perfectionism, but it's more the focus has to be on the journey, not the destination, because being perfect is hard.
Yeah,
it's hard,
absolutely.
And they give very little grace to themselves. So are you seeing that as well as a trend?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think we have a lot of kids on our team that consider themselves perfectionists, mm-hmm. if you asked them. A lot of them are not even that just in basketball, but in the academic side of things. I'm worried about if they get a B, what they're gonna be telling themselves and thinking, and that with grades and that. So I think it goes beyond just even the basketball court. Mm-hmm. It's some of the academic stuff, some of the stuff in life, and unfortunately, it's a struggle that we have to work through now.
And I'm gonna ask you to put yourself out there just a little bit, or put you on the spot. You're also a little bit of a perfectionist. Most college coaches are, and so you can relate to how they're feeling, and you can relate to maybe how you can process and get them through that as well.
Absolutely, I think, the older you get, and the older I've gotten at least, I've been able to, you know, give some things to my assistants and allow them to help out and be okay with not as much perfection, understanding it's a process and there's not one way of doing things. There's not one way of winning, you know. Right. There's multiple ways of winning and there's not one way of executing a play. Sometimes there's multiple ways. So just really having to self-talk myself through some things, you know, as I've gone through my career, because I was such that coming out of college athletics and into the coaching world.
Yeah, it makes a big difference, being able to have that perspective to relate to them. So I already know the answer to this question. I kind of just want it on record. But a player comes to you and says, I'm struggling with my mental health. Do you see that as a coach? Do you see that as a strength or a weakness?
Oh, I definitely see a strength. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for clarifying that on the record.
I definitely do. You know, but I think some of that for kids to be able to want to do those things, to be comfortable doing those things, there has to be a relationship with them in a lot of situations. And, you know, as I said earlier, you know, we bring in a mental health counselor at the beginning of every year, and we really just talk about the stigma of it. And we talk through some things and how it's okay if you want to speak to someone else. And I think with them understanding that we get it, and we're not gonna, you know, we're not gonna characterize you as something if you come and want to speak to someone, I think they feel a lot more comfortable doing that. And when they do that, I really do, I think it's a strength, because I think they're able to self-evaluate that they need some help.
Right.
Again, it doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with them, but they just need to speak to somebody else.
I mean, if they felt like their vertical could be higher, they would come to you for assistance. If
right.
they needed help on their free throws, they would come to you for assistance. So it is something that we want to normalize and that we want to make sure is something that they have the resources and that they have the strength. The stigma is still a little bit out there, because even you know, even back when I played, we didn't discuss mental health. We didn't
right.
think about that. A lot of coaches have that mentality. What do you say to some of those coaches that have the mentality that it is a weakness and that, you know, they need to just deal with it?
Oh, shame on you.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I think you're really, you know, you're really hurting kids if you mm-hmm. do that. Because I think, you know, in most situations, everybody in this world could speak to somebody else and needs to speak to somebody mm-hmm. else, whether you're an athlete or not an athlete. In a lot of situations, you know, it just helps. And so I think, you know, if you are a coach and you don't understand that, there's probably not very many coaches that don't, but if you are a coach and you don't understand that, I think you need to look a little bit further into some of that and really try to be a little bit more open.
Right. Yes. Find something else to do too, because I think, you know, coaching is about kids and preparing them for life. It is.
Yeah.
The sport is secondary, and that's something, you know, you're using this sport as a platform to make them.
And, you know, I refer a lot to, you know, our program and obviously in our program, you know, the way things have gone with a lot of the tradition of winning. Sometimes with winning, there comes some pressure, you know,
right.
whether that's from social media or the outside or parents or whatever it is these days with stuff. And so for us, we're really cautious about it because of that. And what we try to do, which you kind of hit on, is we try to make sure that our kids know and understand that we are using basketball mm-hmm. as an avenue to develop who we are. Basketball is not who we are. You know, it's what we do
right.
with stuff. And so we really try to release some pressure from them with the understanding that, hey, all you have to do every day is come in, go through the process, be the best you can be the best person, be
right.
the best student, be the best athlete. And then at the end, whatever that means, we will be okay with. And so we talk a lot about it, you know,
yeah.
and we go through different, we call them PG, which is personal growth, or how-to days,
mm-hmm.
where sometimes we just sit down and talk, like, what are you guys struggling with today? Is it social media and what people are saying on social media about us? Or, you know, is it the pressure of we've won 13 in a row
right.
now? Do you feel pressure to win again? You know, and we'll really kind of just talk through that.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, when you do those things and you present basketball as an example, in a light that, hey, we're just using this as
right.
our passion
mm-hmm.
to get better at some of our skills that we can take to life, I think they deal with some of that pressure and
mm-hmm.
some of that mental health a little bit better.
I think I really like that. And I really like that because, again, you're using, you know, pressure's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Pressure is not a bad thing. And they're going to have pressure in their life.
Right.
This, you know, dealing with mental health is not about just shielding them mm-hmm. from pressure. We want them to embrace pressure mm-hmm. and be able to handle it. And being able to have those open forums and those open, those moments has got to be releasing mm-hmm. for a lot of your players to know that they have that environment.
Yeah. I think we probably tell them, you know, once a week that, the pressure that you feel in practice or the adversity that you go through in practice is going to be nothing compared to life. So just understand that, like, when you're feeling that, let's work through it. Let's mm-hmm. become better
yeah.
from it.
Because lean into
life
it.
Is, yeah, yeah, life is going to be a lot harder than college basketball. You're going to face
right.
a lot of things that are going to be a lot more mentally challenging in life than just basketball.
So knowing that, you know, we've got to help our athletes be the best that they can be, you know, having what, you know, the team activities that you were mm-hmm. just referring to, knowing how important that is and giving them the resources if they need that. Let's look at the other side of the coin at coaches.
Uh-huh.
Let's look at coaches.
It is January.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yes. January yeah. is the mental month yeah. for sure. And I think coaches are probably the worst at taking care of themselves. You know, they got to be on point. So what do you personally do to
yeah.
release? Because you've got a lot of pressure on you. You have a lot of stress in your life. So how do you release
yeah.
that?
Yeah. You know, when I first got into coaching, a lot of people don't know this, but so I got my first head coaching job and I was there for 2 years and all I did was work. And I was exhausted mentally, just completely exhausted. So I actually got out of coaching because I was just so tired and mentally and all that kind of stuff. And then I had the opportunity to get back in. And when I was in coaching at that point, I didn't understand how important having a release or that balance was. So a big reason why I got out. But I knew when I got back in that I had to have more of that balance. And so, you know, for everyone, that may be, I mean, it's different for everyone, mm-hmm. right? It may be having a day off that you just don't think about basketball. It may be exercise mm-hmm. is what I like to do a lot of times. I think that's always a great thing to do. So it kind of just depends on what you enjoy, but I think it's very, very important. No matter what time of the year it is, you know, and when season's over for us, you know, we try to take the month of May and try to not do basketball. Of course, we're getting ready for camps and that, but we really try to just get out of the office and do something else, spend time with family and friends. And so when we have those times of the year that we have some downtime and are able to do that, it's really important to me. And obviously, I make that a priority for my staff for the same reason. I don't want them to get burnout. Mm-hmm. I don't want them to struggle mentally. I want them to be refreshed as much as they can.
It's so important.
Yeah.
It is so important. And I'm so glad that you make that a priority with not only yourself, but even around your family and your friends. Mm-hmm. It's very important that they know that that's a priority for you and that you're role modeling that.
Yeah.
And including your staff in that. Do you, you know, just out of curiosity, do you check in with your staff without, you know, being solicited? Do you check in with them and see how they're doing with their mental health?
I don't specifically ask them how they're doing.
Yeah, hi,
I
how
probably,
are you doing?
I probably should.
How's your mental
yeah,
health today?
Yeah,
I don't really know where I'm going with that except the fact that I think it's good to have that open dialogue.
Yeah, I do think we are a very close-knit staff, you know,
mm-hmm.
so
right.
like, you know, we know like when each other are struggling or when each other are tired, you know, and then, you know, for us, it's about just helping each other out, you know, hey, I need this today. Can you help me with it? You know,
right.
For example, you know, last week we went a 6-game road trip and I hate being away from home, first of all.
Right.
So that's really hard for me to be on the road 6 days straight. And they know that. But, you know, we played 3 games and then we came back and played last night and we have a game Saturday. Well, usually my assistants alternate scouts and I was like, I'll just take Saturday. So you guys need a break. You're,
right.
I'm sure, mentally exhausted from it. I'll take Saturday. So I'm taking Saturday so that hopefully they can get a little break and get
mm-hmm.
a little bit refreshed for the rest of January and February and going down. So so we really just try to help each other out and talk about if we need help.
Right. That's wonderful. Well, at the end of this podcast, we always give, you know, techniques, practical techniques that people can implement. Is there anything that works for you or works for your players that you all use?
Yeah. Well, I do think, like, for our players, any and all of them, I think need as much help as they can with it, you know, in regards to whatever techniques that are. One of the things I think some of our kids are really good at is having something else besides basketball, you know, and I think for them that is kind of the technique and the release that they use because they need that a lot. So I think them, you know, their passion obviously is basketball, but a lot of them, you know, Kaylee Demetz is married, so when she's not doing basketball, she's, you know, with her husband and working on her family and that kind of stuff. So I think all of them are really good about having a passion outside of basketball that refreshes them mentally.
Yeah, that makes a big difference, to be able to have that, you know, something to fall back on, another activity, and I think that's really, really important. Well, I can't thank you enough, for one, for the efforts that you do, not just on the basketball court and the success you're having there, but the success that you're having coaching people, not just players. So thank you for that, and thank you for the time, because you've got a scout to get ready for.
That's right.
You got to get some scouts.
Right.
So we got to get you, but yeah, you got to get busy. So good luck with the rest of your
thank
season.
You.
We wish you the best, and we thank you for being on our podcast today.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you to Coach Amy Egan for her insights and her perspective. Now for our technique of the month, we're going to talk a little bit about making mistakes. You know, that fear of failure. You know, we can be logical about this. We can say, okay, well, it's not your first mistake. It's not your last. So really, we aren't defined by our mistakes. We're defined by what we do after our mistakes. Mistakes are inevitable. They will occur at some point in time. Do we try to avoid them? Absolutely. Do we learn from them? We better. But what we have to do is be logical about this and think about them. There are little techniques in the moment. Basketball is a fast game. You do not have time to pout over a mistake. You do not have time to worry about what the mistake cost you or what the consequences are. You can learn from it, and sometimes that comes in the film session the next day. But in the moment, you've got to be able to recover and recover quickly to be on point and to be present in your play. Being present and engaged in your play is very important. So there are some little tiny techniques that you can do, and you have to find what works for you. Some of these techniques won't work for other people, but they will work for you, or vice versa. So take your time and soak in these and try them. Some of them can be as simple as after a mistake, you hop three times. You roll your shoulders twice. Those are simple little sensory things you can do. Okay, once you roll the shoulders, you're done. You have to move forward. One of my favorite techniques that tends to work, I've also used this myself. Sometimes when you're driving down the road and a bug hits your windshield, you turn the windshield wipers on. Well, let's use that as a metaphor. The bug is your mistake. So when you make a mistake, you close your eyes and you see windshield wipers knock that bug off into the ditch as you drive on. So the windshield wipers clears the mistake. When you open your eyes, the mistake is over and you have to move forward. Sometimes it can be that simple. Sometimes it cannot. But when you try these simple techniques and you try and tweak them to personalize them for yourself, you're going to see that you can start getting over mistakes quicker and quicker and quicker, and your recovery time will be quicker. There are other techniques, and we'll continue to talk about them in future podcasts, but some of those simple techniques are important. And don't forget your breathing techniques. It's very important to be able, from our first episode, to remember the square breathing, nostril breathing. Go back and visit some of those techniques. They are also very calming as well if you get overwhelmed by mistakes that you may make. Another technique is running the stressors, the mistakes, the triggers that are bothering you through what's called a controllables filter. So if you name your stressor or you name what is bothering you, and if you look at that and you say, okay, I'm going to label this. This is what I'm stressing about. Run it through a controllable filter. If you control it, get to work. Put an action plan together. Do something about it. If you control it, let's go. If you don't control it, you've got to let it go. You've got to send it down the river, send it up in the air, whatever it is, but you've got to let it go. Run it through the controllables filter. Once you can name and label what you are stressed about, Think about how much energy we waste on things we don't even control. So run it through that filter and see what the stressor is. And if you have control of it, then get to work. If you don't, find a way to release it. Find a way to let it go. It does not serve you. That is something that I think is a very important reminder, and it takes time. So I ask that you be patient. I ask that you have perseverance when you're working through these things. Getting over mistakes, there's no pixie dust. There's no magic wand. This is not a Disney movie. This is a sport, and this is a competitive sport. And you don't have time after mistakes to worry about them and carry them up and down the floor with you. That doesn't serve you. That doesn't serve your team. So we have to find techniques that work for you. But think about the controllables filter. Use the windshield wipers. Try and jump out of your mistakes. Hop, roll your shoulders. Find a way to release that mistake. And know that what you do after your mistake is what really, truly defines you as a competitive player. I believe in you, and I know that you can do this. And I know that mindset is a powerful thing. And I'm going to leave you with this poem by Walter Wintle. It's called Think. If you think you are beaten, you are. If you think you dare not, you don't. If you like to win, but you think you can't, it's almost a certain you won't. If you think you'll lose, you're lost. For out of the world we find, success begins with a fellow's will. It's all in the state of mind. If you think you're outclassed, you are. You've got to think high to rise. You've got to be sure of yourself before you can ever win a prize. Life's battles don't always go to the stronger or faster man, but sooner or later, the man who wins is the man who thinks he can. Never underestimate the power of the mindset. I want to thank Coach Amy Egan again for joining us, and I look forward to our next podcast. This has been the Mental Coaching Podcast, sponsored by the National High School Basketball Coaches Association. I'm Jenny Hopkins, and I want you to embrace the power of the mindset, and I want you to get better each and every day. Thank you for joining us.